Yo, what is happening, guys? Nathan back once again with another episode of the Unplugged Freedom Podcast. And in today's episode, we are going to be talking about our mindset. So, mindset is huge. People have no idea just how important our mindsets truly are. I love the human mind. The human mind is so incredible. Like your brain doesn't know the difference between what is real and what is not real. So if you imagine something so in-depthly, you can literally change your body physically. So imagine, you know, biting into a lemon. If you really put the thought of like envisioning it, the peeling of it, the, you know, pause right before you're about to bite into it because you're nervous of what it's gonna, you know, do. Your body, just thinking about this, your body will be reacting to this. It's so crazy. So there's also things like if you put your mind and your focus directly onto something so, let's say, incredibly painful, you can cause yourself pain. So pain in such as like, you know, you could make yourself cry if you really wanted to. But then at the same time, you could also make yourself feel on top of the world. Like what would, like if you were to think about something you've always wanted to accomplish, like whatever it was, let's say it was to be debt free. Being debt free is amazing. Being debt free allows you to be free. A lot of people have a certain job that they hate and that they are miserable about, but they keep it because they have so much debt that they need to have this job. So if they were to actually think about being debt free, like if they were to be totally debt free and maybe even have this job, their view of the job might be completely different. The view of their life could be completely different as well. Sorry, I'm just drinking like a drink before my workout. I'm on my way for a workout. So the thing is that if being debt-free was like such a huge thing, and this can be anything, you know, like just fill in the blank for what that thing is for you. If being debt-free was something that somebody just like wanted so bad, they were like, you know, I don't want to have to worry about payments anymore. I don't want to have to worry about interest. I don't want to have to worry about any of that. I just want every single dollar that I make to be mine. And I don't want to have to pick up the scraps afterwards, after all is said and done. I just want my money to be my money, and I want to feel what that feels like because it's been so long. And I've been there. I've been there where you just have literally like just money going out the door and you have like a few little scraps left and you're just like, okay, cool, so now I gotta wait for another couple of weeks just to get some more money. So it's terrible. So if being debt free was like this huge thing and you really thought about it and you were saying, you know, I really want to be debt free and it's one of like the biggest things that I've always wanted to accomplish. And you know, most people are in debt. Most people are in debt because they buy things that they don't need to buy. They buy things that are way beyond their means because of influences from outside sources, from advertising. People think that they're not affected by advertising. There's a reason why companies will spend billions upon billions of dollars on advertising. It's because it works. It's because it taps into your psychology and essentially manipulates you into thinking that, oh, I want to buy a house. I want to buy this car, buy this watch. I feel like less of a person unless I have this makeup, unless I have these shoes. I will not be cool unless. So if being debt-free was a huge thing for you, and like I said, it could be anything. Let's say you wanted to lose 50 pounds, you wanted to have good abs, whatever it is. If you seriously stopped and just really thought about that, just full in-depth thinking, you're thinking about looking in the mirror and you finally hit that number of being down 50 pounds. You can't even remember the last time that you were at this weight, but you're looking in the mirror and you're seeing somebody totally new, somebody confident, somebody with who looks healthy in their skin, in their face, somebody who has just a natural smile. You can see that this person in the mirror has such a good feeling from within and that it radiates outside. You see that. So you envision that in your mind, if that is something that you want. And what happens is that your body will physically start to change. So you'll get excited and you'll get pumped up, you'll get motivated. And you'll really just kind of like really enjoy it. You're like, wow, this is so amazing. Like, oh, wow. You know, you're just envisioning that. Or being debt free. Maybe the feeling of when you finally get your paycheck and you're looking at it and you're like, wow, this is the very first paycheck in 5, 8, 10 years. And this paycheck is mine. I don't have to pay, you know, a credit card. I don't have to pay a loan. I don't have to pay anything, anyone. Of course, I got to pay, you know, like my cell phone or whatever, but literally, I don't have to pay anything. This is my paycheck to go and do as I please with. And you're thinking about it and you're looking at this paycheck, and you're just thinking of all the possibilities. You're thinking, I could go and buy a brand new pair of shoes right now, and I would still have a lot of money left over. Wow. I could go out for dinner and treat myself to this, and I would still have money left over. How many years has it been that it was, do I buy brand new shoes or do I go out on a Friday night with my friends who I haven't seen in a while? What do I do? And you're kind of stuck with these dilemmas. And so if being debt-free was something huge for you and you envision just that very first check after you've made your last payment to your debt, and you're really just envisioning that, you're looking at the number, whatever that number is, that paycheck, let's say it's like $2,000, and you're thinking, wow, the possibilities of going somewhere, of buying my favorite coffee. You could buy coffee, buy lunch, and buy a pair of shoes, and you're still going to have money left over. And you start to think, wow, like I don't even remember the last time I had the ability to be able to do something like this. That is incredible. So the mind is incredibly powerful, that it doesn't know the difference between reality, what is real and what is not real. You could literally make yourself sad right now. You could literally make yourself happy right now. Now, let's not misguide this. A lot of people, when it comes to mental health, let's say, quote unquote, okay, a lot of people like to play the victim. And this is what I hate about mental illness, and this isn't medical advice, but I have a very strong opinion towards mental illness, Do I believe it's real? Yes, absolutely. Do I believe there are people who are depressed? Yes, absolutely. I've been depressed. Okay, I've been sad. Being depressed is normal. If you're out there living your life, you are most likely at one point in time going to be depressed. It's just going to happen. You can live a life where you are just flat. You're not really happy, but at the same time, you're not really sad. You're not really excited, but at the same time, you're not really having fun. Or you're not really down. So you can live that life and not feel anything at all and just kind of like float on by. You might not ever feel what depression feels like because you're just bleh. But if you're out there living your life, you're taking chances, you're taking risks, your calculated risks, I should say, you're going to feel incredible joy, incredible happiness, incredible love, incredible all kinds of things. But at the same time, on the other side of the coin, you will always hear me say, you cannot have the good without the bad. And that's just being real. Everybody just wants the good. Everybody just wants the good. Or everybody likes to just focus on the bad and they say, only the bad is happening to me right now. Why does this all just happen to me? And they're just down in the dumps about everything. And it's like, you know what? I bet I could go walk in your shoes for a day and I could find 100 things that you could be absolutely grateful for. Absolutely grateful. Like yesterday, I missed a call for work and that just kind of like messes a whole bunch of stuff up for me. When I miss a call because I'm on call. But because I have lived so much life and I have so much experience within my few years on this earth, I have developed this mindset because I've seen it over and over and over again that things happen for a reason. And you can go back a couple of episodes and you can actually listen to my episode that says life is happening for you. Because it's 100% true. Life is happening for you. So I've developed this mindset that life is happening for me so that if something happens, that it's happening for a reason. If I missed a call yesterday, that's okay because I may not be able to know the reasoning as to why that happened, but at the end of the day, I know that it has happened for a reason. I don't know what that reason is today, but I'm sure that I may find out in the future, or I may very well not. That's okay. But I don't stress about it. I don't worry about it. Like, I could get in trouble for my work. They could, you know, come in and, you know, slap me down, whatever. But at the end of the day, do as you must, do as you please, okay? It was an honest mistake. I even went to bed early to prepare to go to work because I was next up to be called, but I missed a call, whatever. You know, I've been on going from driving this from my one hometown or from my town to like another town, 4-hour drive, and there's this home stretch. It's about 45 minutes and you get to that point. And I don't really like this drive. It's one of those drives that just feels like it takes forever. So I get to this last home stretch. There's a little town of Vanderhoof, it's called. And then finally, you get to the home stretch. It's about 45 minutes to an hour. I'm cruising down this road. And I'm just like, oh man, I'm so close. And I'm ripping down. And I'm going 100, what was I going, 130? 130 down the highway, and there was actually somebody who was actually going faster than me. He was flying. I was trying to keep up to him, but I couldn't. And then all of a sudden, he was way up there. I came around this hill, and then all of a sudden, I saw that guy behind some vehicles, so he had slowed down. But by the time I caught up to that point, here comes a police officer in a car from the opposite way, and he actually sees me speeding 130 in 100 zone, and he does a U-turn, turns his lights on, pulls me over. I'm like, damn it. So in a situation like that, you know, so many people, and I've seen it all the time, like they have something happen like this and they tell everybody about it. And like, I literally will see it. So in an office, like say Johnny gets a speeding ticket, he's telling everybody, you know, it's that same story. And he, you know, he's got the whole like thing, and I'm like, wow. And what happens is when you're telling this story, you're reliving it. Now, depending on how you are telling it will tell a lot about how you're actually feeling about it. And so he's thinking about it. He's putting a lot of energy into it, a lot of negative energy into it, about telling everybody at the office about his speeding ticket. And every time he tells it, it gets more intense, and the feelings get more intense. And it just, you can see that it just, ruins his day. And then what that does is that then puts it on to the next person. So they're like, oh, that's too bad. Oh, that's shitty. Oh, you know, oh, that's terrible. I can't believe, you know, and, you know how people will make stories just a little bit more than they actually are. We all do it, right? I won't lie. We all do it. The fish gets bigger every time we catch it, right? And so Johnny, you know, he's out in the office. He's telling everybody about his speeding ticket. And then all of a sudden it gets worse and worse and worse every time he tells it. And whereas like the reality of it wasn't even that bad. So the reason I'm saying this is like for myself and the life that I've lived is I've developed this uncanny knowing that, okay, I got a speeding ticket. What can I be grateful out of this situation? In that situation, I could be extremely grateful because I was going 130 in a 100 zone. This is kilometers per hour, so I wasn't going crazy like 200 miles per hour. The police officer, he could have gave me a huge ticket. And so I've never really had any bad qualms about police officers. I've never had any bad issues with them. Like all this, like, you know, cancel the RCMP and defund the RCMP, all that bullshit. I don't agree with that whatsoever. I think those people are stupid who are trying to spread that message. I've never had any issues with them. And so this police officer, he could have easily gave me a huge ticket going 30 over the speed limit. If I was going another 10 kilometers an hour, 140, he could have impounded my car. So he gave me the speeding ticket. It was only like $130. And I was like, wow, I'm like, awesome. He's like, hey, just keep it down, okay? I'm like, yes, definitely, thank you. And, you know, I'm not giving him a hard time. I'm not like putting my window down like a little bit and like not answering his questions. I'm also admitting my fault. Like, dude, you caught me. I didn't say like, man, there's a guy up there. He was going 150. I was trying to catch up to him. Like, you know, like it's just like, you caught me. I fucked up, and, you know, I deserve every amount of reprimand that you're about to give me, you know. And so, because I'm not giving him a hard time, and he's just, you know, maybe he's at the end of his shift, and he's had a good day, but he's got to do his job. Like, you are going 30 over the speed limit. So he gives you a speeding ticket and says, hey, this guy seems like a pretty nice guy. I'll just give him, like, the minimum. He gave me, like, a $130 speeding ticket, I'm pretty sure it was. If you paid it within the 30 days, you also got like $25 off, I think it was. So like, it was $100. So the mindset that I have is, what can I be grateful for? Well, I could have got a much higher speeding ticket. I know that for sure. Absolutely. The other thing that I could be grateful for is this was just out of winter. So where I was driving from, we still had snow on the ground. Where I was now, got the speeding ticket, there was no snow and the roads were clear. But what if up ahead, I was coming around a corner at 130, misjudged it, hit some black ice, and then whew, boom, in the ditch, upside down, who knows what could have happened. So what would you rather take? Being upside down in a ditch or $130 speeding ticket? What would you rather have? So some people would call this God. Some people would call this, you know, whatever they call it, the universe. Somebody called this like the spirits, like whatever you want to call it. I just know that throughout my life, I've seen this time and time again that everything seems to happen for a reason. And rather than really stressing about things, I try to have a mindset that is, okay, what can I be grateful for in this situation? And I'm grateful that he only gave me a $130 ticket, which is going to work out to be just over $100. That's like nothing. Maybe that was, let's say, the universe just like saying, hey, we're going to slow you down, because if you continue this up ahead, you're going to hit a spot and you could end up injured. So we're going to give this ticket to you right here, right now. So this is kind of like what I said, life is happening for you when with this job, that something is happening on the 19th, that we're supposed to have our first poke. Well, the thing is that it's kind of like, what if they do decide to fire me or whatever, and I have to leave this job, even though I was expecting to leave this job in 3 to 5 years from the date I started it, what if I got too comfortable in that time? And then next thing you know, maybe 4 years turns into 6 years, 6 years turns into 8 years, and then I just kind of get comfortable. Because you surround yourself with a certain kind of person, who you surround yourself is who you become. You ever see an overweight person hanging out with another overweight person? Like, that's not by accident. That's on purpose, okay? An overweight person is not necessarily going to be hanging out with me. Why? Because I'm going to be going to eating at, you know, fairly healthy places. I'm not perfect. I'll eat my junk food, you know, a bag of chips here and there. I'll devour a huge bag of chips. you know, but I'm also may go for like a hike. I may go for a workout. Like I'm about to go for a workout right now, right? So am I spending much time eating, watching TV? No, not a whole lot. Like, so who you are is who you become. So that's the thing is, if I get fired from this job, well, maybe that's just the universe saying, hey, look, we know that you wanted to leave this job in 3 to 5 years as opposed to 2 to 3 years. The reason that we are doing this is because you have bigger and better things to do. So rather than you be scared of that and scared of going after that, what we're going to do is we're actually going to give you a little bump in the right direction. And I talked about this before in the one Life is Happening for You a couple of episodes ago, that yeah, it's very much just like my boss. If my boss came and said, hey, do you want to run this job site, I would have said no, but he didn't ask me, he just told me. He said, you're running this job site. Turns out I ran that job site freaking awesome, but I never would have. So Over time, I've seen it time and time again. I have very big situations in my life where one simple decision changed the trajectory of my life. One example was, I used to live in Vancouver, was dating a girl. We broke up. I was a mess. I moved back up north, and I was up north. I got a job, started living that life, and I was there for a year. My warranty for my MacBook was ending, so I wanted to go back down into Vancouver, go to the Apple store, and get them to check it out before my warranty was ending. So I go back down, and when I got back down to Vancouver, here I was living up north in this small little town. When I got back down to Vancouver, I was like, why am I not here? Why am I living up there? And what I had realized is that I was speaking the same words that these guys were speaking. Oh, it's too expensive. It rains all the time. There's too many people. You know, I had that same vocabulary that everybody had within that hour. So but when I was down in Vancouver, I was thinking like, what am I not, you know, why am I not here? Why am I up there? And how long am I going to be up there? So on my way back, I was thinking, like, how am I going to get back down? 3 weeks later. So I had made the decision to move back down. And 3 weeks later, I was on my way back down to Vancouver, moving back down. Didn't even have a job. Didn't even have a plan. Had a couple job interviews, just like willy-nilly. The reason that that one idea changed the whole trajectory of my life was simply because that if what happened from there is I got a job with my friend's boyfriend. He hired me, and it was just a shitty like labor job. Wasn't anything spectacular. Didn't even pay that great, but he got me started. Which from that job, I met another guy who I made friends with. Who, when I got laid off from this job, he said, "Hey, did you want to work with us?" I said, "Yes." I worked with them, and because of that, I made good money from that job. So what happened from there is I used that to pay off my debt, save up a bunch of money, which then, after that, I then took off to Australia. So what if I never went to Vancouver? You know, like what if I never went to Vancouver? And what if I never decided to come back and move back to Vancouver? I didn't have a plan. I didn't have any of that. I just did it. So it's absolutely huge to be able to have these and make these decisions in your life. So, of course, you have to take things into consideration. If you have kids, if you have a mortgage, if you have family, if you have dependents, like all these things, like don't get all crazy. But the thing is that you have to take things into consideration for yourself. Another one was when I was in Australia, I was trying to get a job for Australia, and the decision, I was faced with a decision. Do I stay in Australia for my second year visa, or do I accept this job going to Bali? And I almost said no to going to Bali for this job. And what happened, there was like a little tiny, like 5 minute window where I said no. I'm not going to take the job in Bali. But then I had a little discussion with myself and I said, yeah, I'm going to. So I took the chance. I took the risk. I took the job to go to Bali, moved to Bali, Indonesia. And that was intentionally going to be 3 to 6 months and then go back to Australia. That was my plan. Go back to Australia, finish my 2 year visa and go from there. Turns out, fell in love with Bali. Stayed for 2 years. I spent a year in Australia and then 2 years after that in Bali, and I traveled a total of 7 countries within 3 years. Absolutely amazing. There was no plan, there was no trajectory, there was no, not like any solid ducks in a row or anything. But because I've been able to make these decisions and if we go back, how to make big decisions in your life. There's a couple of episodes back as well. Because I've been able to do this over and over again, I've built a lot of things. I've built the mindset that when something happens, it happens for a reason. I've lost money. I've lost, like, let's say one time I made an investment and I lost $2,500 in it. And at the same time, what that had done is I said, you know what? I'm kind of glad that I lost that money because it made me humble. It made me a little bit more cautious. It made me more, less cocky in a way with money. It's kind of hard to explain. Like if you have a lot of money and you're kind of like, you can get cocky in a way and be like, oh yeah, money is just like, you know, forever and it'll never stop. No, money can stop at any point in time. You never know what can happen. You never know what expense could come up. You never know what could happen. So when you have that a bit of, say, arrogance and cockiness, it's bad because then you start taking bad risks because you think that the money will never stop. So when I invested, I lost $2,500 and I was like, wow. But the thing is that the reason I invested is because I did have that cocky, arrogant attitude of, oh, whatever, it's $2,500, you know, and I just did it. And yeah, it flopped huge time. And I was like, fuck. And so, but then at the same time, I said, okay, what can I learn from this? And what I learned from it was, I'm so glad that I actually had that happen, because it made me humble again. It made me think again. Made me think twice. So, brought me back to reality that, okay, like, how many times would you like to lose $2,500? It's like, well, not very many, not even one time. Okay, so obviously money isn't forever. Money isn't, you know, it's not never ending. So it humbles you, brings you back down to reality. And I really appreciate that. So in all my experience, I've developed these mindsets, you know, that things happen for a reason. I've developed the courage and the ability to be able to take on new challenges and accept things, so that if I were to get a phone call today and say, hey, Nathan, you're going to be laid off, you know, it's just kind of like, oh, okay, cool. And I hang up the phone. Like, there's no like big worries or any of that. It's just, oh, okay, cool. Literally, like, sometimes I've had it. I've had, what, 1, 2, maybe 3 phone calls like that where they've called me and said that I was laid off. And I swear that the guy calls me up and he's always got this like hesitant sound in his voice, like, just want to let you know that, you're going to be laid off. Okay. And it's almost like there's like a little pause and he's waiting for like me to just like, are you fucking crazy? How am I supposed to pay my bills? Fuck bullshit. Bro. You know? And like, you can kind of hear it in his voice and kind of like hear it in the hesitancy and like the pause. But I'm just like, oh, okay, cool. All right, sweet. Thanks for letting me know. Have a good day. And he's like, yeah, thanks. And I swear, like, when he hangs up the phone, he kind of like looks around and says, I don't know if that guy understood what I said, that he's laid off. And so it's hilarious. I've had that multiple times. And so that, I swear, but just because I can hear it in his voice. And I know people who lose it on them. And but for me and myself, like, because I've created a life for myself that I'm not necessarily, what would you say, reactive? I if something like that happens, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. That just means I have more time for my clients. That just means I have more time to work out. I have more time to relax. Okay, great. Because I've been working so much. So that is a little bit of mindset. And in order to build a mindset like this, it takes a lot of practice, a lot of courage, takes a lot of risk. You're gonna fuck up, you're gonna make mistakes, you're gonna lose money, you're gonna be heartbroken, you're gonna cry, you're gonna, you know, hurt your knee. Like, it's gonna happen. Okay, but at the end of the day, that's okay. You've got to build your armor. Like, the amount of times I've failed is incredible. It's why I don't like school very much, because they don't encourage failure. If you look into the best basketball players, the best baseball players, I think Babe Ruth, it was something like he was the one who struck out the most. He struck out the absolute most out of anybody else. But guess who was also had the highest numbers, success numbers? It was him. It's the same thing with Michael Jordan. These people fail the most. If you're willing to fail the most, you are giving yourself the opportunity to be able to succeed the greatest. And so it's huge. It's absolutely huge. I have failed so many times. I have failed in relationships. I have failed in jobs. I have failed in businesses. I have failed in all kinds of things, but I try to learn from every single one of them. And I say, okay, I fucked up here. What can I learn from that for next time? I'm not perfect. I never will be perfect. I don't strive to be perfect. I just strive to be better than I was. And so it can be a tough journey. It can be hard, because people do judge you. People will judge you along the way. I judge people, you know, I judge people heavily. I try not to, but it just comes so natural to me. But, you know, people will judge your ability to climb a tree when you're a fish, and it's nothing that you can avoid. People will just do it. So it's tough. You just got to say, hey, you know what, whatever, I'm going to climb the tree to the best of my ability with the tools that I have, even if I'm a fish, and I'll figure it out. So get out there, make good calculated decisions. If you fail, learn from it. If you succeed, learn from it, and be humble at the same time. You know, there's just so many different things that you can do. You got to build that armor, because if you've only worked one job before and you've never left a job, leaving that job for the first time, that dog's really cute. Leaving that job for the first time is going to be extremely frightening for you. Because I've left so many jobs, I have no problems with it. You know, that's why I say part of me kind of hopes that they fire me. And so you get to practice. If you've only ever been in one relationship, you've never left a relationship before, you don't know that incredible heartache and that incredible pain that you're going to go through. I know that if I leave a relationship, I know what to expect from it. I know that if I leave a city, or if I travel to a new country where I don't know anybody, I know that I'm going to face loneliness. I know that I'm going to know nobody. But somehow, some way, it always seems to work out. People are always afraid to leave jobs, leave cities, leave towns, leave countries, go travel by themselves. They're always afraid of it. And they say, yeah, but like, I don't know anybody. And I'm like, well, so what? You know, you will figure it out. And I'm somebody who's not really, I don't really like go out and like look to make friends. It just kind of happens. It's so natural that it actually just happens. So like, I'll go in with the intention of not making friends. I'm just kind of living my life. But what happens so many times is that when you're just living your life, next thing you know, like, you'll look back and you're like, how do all these people know my name? How do all these people know who I am? Like, why are all these people interested in me? And this has literally happened when I went traveling. I went to Australia, knowing nobody. Moved into a house with like five other people. And next thing you know, like, by the end of it, we're all like really good friends. I started a job in Australia where I knew nobody. Next thing you know, me and a friend are going to Nepal for 6 weeks. Like, we're traveling to a third world country for 6 weeks where, you know, a matter of months ago, we didn't even know each other existed in the world. And here we are doing something like this. And so when you're out there living your life, things just tend to happen. And it's amazing. It kind of sucks in the beginning, because you already want it to be happening or to have happened. So if you know nobody, there's like, you're like, man, like, how do I get to know people? Like, what do I do? How do I make friends? You know, you just do. I'm somebody who doesn't really like, I don't really like to be around people, but somehow, some way, in all of my avoidance of people, somehow people seem to enjoy me, you know, working with me, whatever it is. That, like, I go to work and guys will be like, hey, Nathan, how's it going? And I'm like, oh God, I don't know this guy's name. Like, yo, what's up? You know? I'm like, man, like, I'm like, cool that you remembered who I am. I don't know if that, you know, what that says, but maybe that's good or whatever. But Anyways, I don't want to ramble on too much, guys. You know, mindset is huge. You gotta, it takes practice, it takes works. So work on it. It's not easy, but if you can create a strong mindset, nothing will affect you, and you'll only become better. I know people that, you know, something happens in their day and they're affected by it the whole rest of the day. I know people who something had happened in their past and they're affected by it hugely. And like, it's incredible. Mindset is such a huge thing. Human psychology, human behavior is one of my favorite things to learn about, talk about, and understand. And it allows you to be able to not only understand yourself, but also to understand other people much better on a deeper level. So definitely get out there, read some books, take some courses, and improve it. And you will see improvements in your life, all kinds of places, whether it's your career, it's your relationships, whether it's your family, your parenting, your whatever it is, you will see improvements if you improve your mindset. So anyways, I'm going to go for a workout and I will talk to you guys later. All right. Thank you.